I always feel like we're like a radio DJ show when we come in with that hot, that music. I'm like, yeah, jam it out.
Well, I like it.
It's pretty good. Welcome to another Superflight, another edition of the Superflight podcast. It's Sunday, June 12th, and we're back.
In some ways, we never left.
We never leave. What's up, Mike?
Not much. What's up with you?
Oh, nothing.
It's a beautiful sunny day. Did you get up to anything?
Yeah, I got up to a little, went and took the wife to the Brooklyn Botanical Garden. Shout out to the Brooklyn Botanical Garden.
I love that you're going to the Botanical Garden with your wife.
It's so nice. It's beautiful. It was a lovely day.
It's really nice. It's like a Hallmark card.
Yeah. I know we're not going to speak about anything depressing today, but I'm just trying to bring my spirits up about like really nasty things that are happening in the world right now. So yeah. That's all. And I just want to say that my heart goes out to everybody in Orlando. That's all.
Me too.
Yeah. So trying to bring it back around and talk about some basketball, trying to get my mind off of things. How are you? How was your day? Did you do some cleaning? I don't know.
I did exciting cleaning.
Bring the mic down a little bit so it's in your face. There you go. There you go. Yeah. Anyway, do you want to talk about some playoff basketball since this series is thankfully nearly over?
It's not. They suspended Draymond to get an extra game out of it.
Oh, that's a good point. They did. That's your take? They suspended him to get in.
He's been eligible for suspension so many times leading up to this.
For like 4 weeks now, right?
The incident with LeBron was basically nothing, and that's what they suspended him for.
Yeah. I don't know, though, man. That was like, I didn't want to jump into that right away, but yeah, let's get into it.
Sure.
That was messed up. Like, he swung at him? He like tried to knock him down, like tried to grab his leg, and then he swung at him?
LeBron crawled over the top of him and forced him down.
Whatever. I mean, it's somebody.
I thought it was a fair exchange. I didn't think there was anything over the top about it. I thought they gave a good back and forth. And I thought LeBron was just as, not just as eligible, but eligible too. I thought he was completely participatory in it.
Oh, yeah.
And I think that the league chose this as the incident to suspend Draymond. When I know they would like another game out of this series.
Well, of course. I mean,
regardless of how bad this series has been.
Right. I think that just, you know, I feel like they were backed into a corner with their own decisions to this point. Like, I feel like they backed themselves into a corner with not suspending him. And, like, this one was just like, okay, we have to do something.
See, I don't.
And then the added bonus is we'll get another game out of the series. Maybe. See, I honestly still think that the Warriors will win tomorrow night.
I don't disagree that they could win. I just think they set a precedent by when the actions were way worse by not suspending him. Two at least that I can think of. I think there were three incidents. That for this one, this is what he got. This is when you choose to suspend him for this.
Well, that's what I'm saying. They backed themselves into a corner.
But like, this is basically nothing. They set a precedent of not suspending so that all the players could play. Everyone's just forever. I listen to arguments about like we want all the players on the floor. Right. Subjective basketball, as we talked about, so we can have the most entertainment money for our dollar. And then they suspend him for this. I don't know. I don't know. Do you think there's a degree of you can't touch LeBron?
No, I don't think that's it at all. I think like it goes back to what you were just talking about. Like, you know, you suspend him for this, right? So they as I was saying, they kind of backed themselves into a corner with like their non-decision. You know what I mean? They're like, because it looks so blatantly obvious, like they didn't suspend him before, and it seemed like favoritism, and that they, you know. And now they had to do something. Because, listen, if they had suspended him against OKC like they should have, they probably would have given that series to the Thunder. And so we wouldn't even be having this conversation. But that was a much more important, like, game series that, you know, if they had suspended him for, what was it, Game 6? That series would have been over. The Thunder would have come out of that. They wouldn't have had their champion that I think they would like.
So you're making the argument that they're applying the rule subjectively to get the result that they want.
Exactly.
Which is exactly what's happening here. That's essentially
what
I'm
saying
too.
Yeah, right.
But I just didn't think this incident was as bad or as blatant as some
of
the other ones.
Right.
I don't think Steve Adams, I didn't see a lot of Steve Adams participating and going back at Draymond. I'm sure they did under the basket and you just didn't see it.
Right.
But on this, I saw just as much interaction with LeBron. I mean, you can be mad that Draymond maybe got the best of the situation, but I don't think that it wasn't equal in terms of them going at it. And for me, as an old school basketball fan, I enjoy that. I like it when players go at each other and get worked up. Like, I thought that that was the most enjoyable thing. I didn't like that. I mean, say what you want, but I didn't like that Steve Adams didn't do anything. And that's kind of the way the NBA has gone, is they've trained players not to do anything or react.
Right. No, and I'm with you. I really like, so like, The other part of that I was thinking is that, like, in the last game, they were really letting them play. Like, they were beating the shit out of each other on the court. It didn't start out that way, though. The game started out, and they were giving a lot of calls to Golden State. And then right before the end of the half, I forget who it was, took a half-court shot. The ball would have gone in, and it was a blatant foul. It wouldn't have gone in, I'm sorry. But it was a blatant foul from the three-point line. And, like, and the Cavs were up. They didn't call. Maybe they were giving calls to Cleveland. They didn't call that foul. It was a blatant foul. I think it was like Iguodala was trying to shoot a three-point shot. It was before the clock stopped. And like whoever was guarding him like grabbed his arm while he was in midair shooting.
Yeah.
They didn't call that foul. And then I think it was just such an obvious error that after halftime they came back up and they overcorrected basically. And they didn't call anything. They were like just letting them beat the shit out of each other. I like that. I would rather see that kind of basketball. So I feel like it's more fair. To be honest with you,
so would I.
But yeah, I think the inconsistencies are what's bothering me, and I think that's basically what you're talking about too.
It's the inconsistencies. It's also that I understand the NBA as entertainment, and in terms of like getting as many people involved, including, and this isn't sexist, but women and children to watch, broadening it, so it's not just men,
right.
Which has happened over the last 20 years. I just don't know how blatant it has to be, like structurally, that it's just about the entertainment dollar and not about the sport. And that's kind of what's alienated me over the years,
right,
from NBA basketball, is that I feel like it becomes so apparent after the way calls are chosen and the way it's marketed and everything else when you see it on a whole.
And it starts to tread into like WWE territory.
Sometimes, but it just starts to wear on me when I watch it, in terms of that it's just so just about that dollar.
It's totally about the dollar.
As it should be. I mean, it's...
Yeah, to a certain extent, yes. Like, but they're already making so much money. Can we just have a fair series?
Right.
I mean, seriously. I realize that, like, we both talked about this, too. Like, we've been talking about how, like, because we're not associated with the NBA in any way. We're just fans of the game who like to talk shit.
Mm-hmm.
So, we talked about, like, we both think that the NBA is doing this completely unfairly. Well, not completely, but it's sort of unfair. There's unfair calls. There's unfair, you know, favoritism, I guess.
Right, and that happens in sports. It happens.
It's inevitable. Like, even when you get down to the personal interactions with the refs, refs are obviously going to call you. I mean, like, I know this from talking to other people that I know who are actually associated with the NBA. Like, if you piss a ref off, they're going to go after you.
Yeah, this is Rasheed Wallace. That's all I have to say.
Yeah.
He got kicked out of a game. There was a famous one where he got kicked out of a game in a matter of seconds or minutes. Who could kick out Rasheed the fastest?
But, so there's that aspect of it. And I forgot where I was going with it. But, like, it's, you know.
Did you completely lose your point?
I totally lost my train of thought. Please wait, processing.
Get that brain back, fire it back up. Pull the cord.
Anyway, so
we're like, talking about money and application of rules.
Right. And I just think it needs to be a bit more fair, is basically all.
I do too. And I think just watching sports, whether it's basketball, football, baseball, hockey, there's going to be bad calls.
Of course.
For me, it's looking at what the call means as a result, how, especially in a series, how it affects the next game or how it affects the team and what the result is. And with Draymond being kicked out for this, it's a clear advantage for the Cavaliers. That said, I don't think that they're necessarily going to win, even with Draymond out, because they've failed to figure out that they, I think, still need to go bigger.
I agree.
But the NBA gave themselves a huge advantage in the chances that there will be another game. And there will be another game, and they keep this going as long as possible, because they've shown us anything by changing the first round from 5 to 7 games. They want as many games on TV as possible. They want as many people talking about this as possible.
Of course,
to absolutely keep it in the public's mind.
That's what I was going to say. Like we were talking about before, that if it went 4 games and the series was over, we would both be shocked, and we would have to like eat our words about how like the NBA wants this to go as many games.
Right.
We both knew that would never happen. So
I think I said six. I said six. I don't think that they can fake it all the way to 7.
No, I doubt it. And it's kind of sad, man. I'm like, I at this point, I kind of just feel bad for LeBron.
Do you?
Yeah, I kind of do.
He's like, rich as fuck.
Yeah. I mean, I don't feel bad for him as a person. I feel bad for him as like, how is his legacy going to end up in the pantheon of NBA sports? You know what I mean?
It'll be good.
Yeah, well, yeah, it's going to be great. But, like, think about it. If LeBron had done what MJ did, he would easily be the number one guy, right?
What do you mean by what
MJ did? Like, if he had as many championships, which we know he will not end up with now. There's just no way.
Right. Until he goes to the Clippers and they just win championship after championship. I was at the DMV and I had to fill out all this paperwork and two of the guys working the door, the guys who turn you away and be like, don't come in here, don't bother. Because it's New York City, there's always like layers, and the first layer is, get the fuck out of here, we're not doing anything for you. I got past them, I was filling out paperwork, and I heard them talking about the finals. And one of them was just berating the other guy about how LeBron's going to the Clippers.
Really?
So, yeah, just all week I've just been like, so when LeBron joins the Clippers, like, I'm just going to go with what I heard from some random guy at the DMV talking about. I don't want to be well-read or have my own opinions anymore. I'm just going with DMV opinions from here on out.
Welcome to DMV. Welcome to the Superflex Podcast, where you get all your DMV opinions right here.
God damn it, I've spent enough time there. I probably could fill up a podcast with opinions.
Oh, what? Sorry, the I just got a
ready.
Text.
Your tea is ready.
All right, thank you. I didn't realize that actually does come through the recording. Did you hear it the last time? I was like, I don't think that's going to bleed through, but yeah, okay. No, people stop texting me between the hours of 4 and 5 o'clock.
Or just turn it off.
I don't know how to do that.
Don't blame other people for your lack of professionalism.
I'm blaming everyone for my lack of professionalism. Oh, man. Anyway, I have some other thoughts about the Cavs in this series. You know, I thought that... it was going to go five games. Well, all right. So originally I said Golden State in seven, but then after this, you know, the first three games or first two games, I thought maybe it would go in four, possibly five. So there's a chance that Golden State can win it in five. Do you think that Cleveland has a chance in this game? And let me ask you more specifically, like, what do you think about Kevin Love helping or hurting the team?
First of all, good. I'm glad you brought up Kevin Love.
Yeah.
Because I think that it's gone too far. The criticism has gone too far in one direction.
By the way, let's talk about that real quick.
I also just want to say, too, real quick, that I don't want to get into the fact that there are undertones of race involved in it now, which I think is just ridiculous.
Yeah.
Like, they're clearly there at this point.
It's just...
But, yeah, I think
I
that
lost
the criticism...
The community.
I just think the criticism on Kevin Love has gone too far of him being soft.
Well, that's what I was going to say. Like, I think in general, the criticisms of everything, the takes are so hot this year. Like, it's so overreactive in every direction. Like,
agreed.
Cavaliers win one, and everybody's like, oh my God, the Cavaliers are going to win the series. Like, Golden State wins the next one. Like, oh my God, Golden State's going to win. Like, can you just please be a little bit measured? Like,
the number of times I've heard pundits talk about, it's over when it's not over.
Yeah.
It's over.
You realize I was
Golden State won game one. It's over.
It's over. I mean, it's easy to do. Like, it's obviously, you know, knee-jerk reactions are very simple and very, like, oh my God, that just happened. You know, it takes me by surprise, too, when a team wins by 30, you know, and whatever.
So about Kevin Love, though.
About Kevin Love. What do you think about Kevin?
So you and I were talking about, because we like to, with our little group of friends, fantasize about, like, different trade scenarios and team scenarios. And I had said earlier how much I would like Al Horford to go to the Blazers.
Of course, yeah.
Love Al Horford, especially at a power forward position, even with his bad shoulders and his 30 years of age. And you and I had touched on the fact that I said I would like Kevin Love too.
Right.
And you seem to think that Al Horford was better than Kevin Love.
I think on the Blazers, I think he would be better.
I don't disagree with you, and I'm not taking umbrage with your opinions. I don't think you're far off base. I just think that... For me, I kept thinking about, you know, I thought about it for a couple of days and I was just like, no, I think Kevin Love's stock has fallen too far.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
The downside in the free agent market is the amount of money he gets paid. But at the same time, I think his stock has fallen way too far. I think there may be degrees of self-esteem issues that come from the media and possibly LeBron's
browbeating
leadership.
I'm with you on
like,
that.
You aren't good enough. You aren't good enough.
Yeah,
2 years
dude,
of that.
You can see it in his face. You can. Yeah. I feel like you can see it in his body language when he's in.
And people just, talk about Kevin Love. When I watched him play LaMarcus live, he had one of the sickest post games I had remembered seeing. Like, it's very memorable, his game in the post.
Mm-hmm.
And now watching him in the post, it's like he's lost and he just got to the NBA and I don't know what to do in the post.
Agreed.
I don't know if that's because of his weight loss, assuming he lost some weight when he came to the Cavaliers.
Yeah, I don't know.
Or
don't know
if it's a confidence thing, which I really think it's just confidence. I watched him miss layups in the finals. Those are layups for a guy who averaged 25 to 26 points a game.
And was rebounding the shit out of the ball in Minnesota. Like, he was like a magician on the boards. It was insane.
Just got everything. He was Rodman-esque.
Yeah, you don't, your game doesn't change that much overnight.
No, it doesn't. It takes years of, you know...
mental abuse by your teammates.
Or one in particular. Or one year. Who thinks he has the juice to fire the coach and put everyone down and decide who gets paid what on the team.
Who actually does have the juice to fire the coach.
Tristan Thompson deserves $80
million. He totally does, yeah.
He's good at offensive rebounding and
nothing else. Although, we should talk about that. My mic is really hot. We're going to get some blurbing here, but... we should talk about Tristan Thompson for just a hot second. Did you see the other night during the game? I really wonder. I was, like, blown away. He had a dribble fadeaway shot in the corner. I'm like, what the hell did I just see? He like dribbled the ball and took a fadeaway jump shot and hit it. Yeah. I was like, that was Tristan Thompson. The dude doesn't do anything but rebound the ball. Like, what the hell just happened? I love little nuggets like that.
But these guys are such good athletes. So most good. Of them do it. Yeah. Tristan Thompson, if, am I mistaken, or was he a top three pick? He was, wasn't
yeah,
he?
I think, I thought he was five, but he might be top three, yeah. Either way, he went really high.
Yeah.
But he hasn't shown that he has any offensive game, and he certainly hasn't shown that he has handles.
I just think, it's not even that. I just think I think a lot of Canadian players, they used to beat up on French players, but Canadian players, I tend to see them, a lot of them play without heart.
Yeah.
I think that's a big hot take. But all the Canadian, I guess Steve Nash would be the.
If you're Canadian, please don't listen to this podcast.
You don't have to worry about Canadians. You don't have to worry about anyone listening to this podcast.
It's fair.
Steve Nash would be the. But I tend to think about Andrew Wiggins, who's actually gotten really good. But I kind of like, I don't know. I suspect, and then Bennett, who just played himself or ate himself out of the league.
Yeah, I'm with that one. I think that's a little bit hot takey for my blood, but
I think it's thrown it out there. I'm just saying
they might be too nice.
Degrees of doubt have been sown. I'm not saying it's a fact or that I'm going to put it out there for debate. I guess I am putting it out there for debate, but I'm just saying the seeds have been sown a little bit about Canadian players in heart.
That's fair. I don't think it has anything to do with their heart. I think it has to do with the fact that they're just way too nice.
And they're courteous. Very polite.
Very polite.
They're just thinking about poutine.
Oh God. Anyway, do you think it's so? What do you think? Do you think that Kevin Love? You think this is it for him in Cleveland? I kind of do.
I hope so. I hope he gets. I out do of too. There.
Oddly enough, I feel like it's hurting his career being in Cleveland.
I hope he goes to Portland or the Lakers or somebody like that.
Yeah,
he's a West Coast dude.
He is a West Coast.
Or
dude.
He goes back to the West Coast, finds himself, finds his game. Because I'd like to see him thrive.
All right, so we're getting into this prematurely, but let's suppose the Lakers want him. What would the Lakers give?
Do they have to give anything? Would Cleveland just want to get rid of him at this point?
Well, they're not just going to dump him. Well, how long is he under contract for? See, these are all things we need to
we're
look
We're going
up.
In a direction right, that we're not, we prepared, not for.
Prepared for. Right.
Let's go back to the last game.
Okay.
Let's stick with the finals. Let's finish this out.
Let's do it.
We'll talk about free agents soon.
Yeah, I think next week we're going to do free
because
agents.
Because Portland doesn't really have any draft picks. I don't think they have any. So
no, they have none.
Eyeing the free agent market. Yeah. Also, as a Knicks fan, which I also am, I've been watching the free agent market.
Yeah.
Anyway, back to the
finals. Some really good, interesting tweets about that, too. So I don't know. I don't have that much else to say about that game. I just think that, like, I would like to analyze it and talk a little bit more about the last game or the last two games. But honestly, I've been sort of so checked out. Like, when you weren't here, I did that podcast alone. And I talked about playoff exhaustion. I'm a little exhausted at this point. They need to shorten the playoffs.
Yeah, it goes on way too long.
It's too far.
It's hard to stay excited.
Yeah.
Especially about a series that I feel like is like Golden State. We're just waiting around for Golden State to win the series.
Yeah.
It's fun to watch. Everyone plays really hard.
The last game was obviously the best because it was close and it was a lot more fun. I don't know what happened in the Cavs in the end because, to be quite honest with you, I was falling asleep on my sofa drunk. So
it's funny. I thought that Tyronn Lue or the Cavs would be up for a brilliant adjustment. And I thought the brilliant adjustment came from Kerr playing McAdoo.
Yeah.
He only played 7 minutes, but McAdoo's minutes were amazing. And it's nice to see Bob McAdoo's son coming around. I want that kid to do well.
Yeah.
And Harrison Barnes had a good game.
They also played Mozgov. The Cavs played Mozgov, which I don't understand why they didn't play him more or sooner.
That looked like somebody put wheels on a car that's been on their lawn for 2 years. He came out just flailing around like he didn't know where to be. And like He's like, I'm Mozgov standing. Why Mozgov standing? Mozgov's supposed to sit.
Wow. But I mean, like, their advantage, I think, in this series would be the same advantage that OKC had, which was their size, you know?
But we talked about that, yeah. I don't think that they're going to make that adjustment. I don't think Coach LeBron.
Coach LeBron won't let that happen.
I think his biggest size adjustment has been Channing Frye.
Yeah. So, and the other thing is, like, we should maybe talk a little bit about Kyrie. Although Kyrie's been playing on offense lights out. That dude is sick. You know what? I actually had that thought the other night. You know who he reminded me of? Hitting some crazy shots, and I hate to say this.
Iverson?
No.
Oh, Kobe. I thought you were going to go right to Philly.
No, Kobe.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I was like, damn it.
Kyrie can ball.
The one thing I will always give Kobe is that dude had an uncanny knack to make a shot that just is not supposed to go in. Like, that's what he did. But that's what Kyrie was doing. And I'm like, damn it. Like, we have another Kobe. But Kyrie's way more, infinitely more likable.
Yeah. He is more likable. He's also not the defender that Kobe was.
No, this is the other thing. Like, you know, Kyrie can't defend.
And Curry can't defend him. That's been the funniest matchup to watch.
Yeah.
I mean, Curry hasn't had good games. But
what's up with Curry? Now, see, here's another thing. Like, speaking of this, everybody's like, he's hurt. He's injured. He had a shot in his elbow.
That went
like,
on forever, and then he just dropped 38.
I know. Yeah. Speaking of confidence, I think they may have just gotten it in his head because they were, like literally abusing the guy physically. He gets trapped on every...
NBA not giving calls.
Yeah, exactly. But they're, like, beating him up on every time he touches the ball, there's, like, two guys on him, like, manhandling him. It's no wonder, like... I mean, that's how you're going to get in his head. That's what other teams... Who did it? Boston did the same thing to him this year. And didn't... I guess...
This goes way, way back, though. This is an old NBA thing. Where the small guy is the best guy on the team, beat him up.
Beat him up, because he's the smallest guy on the team.
This goes all over... Yeah, I mean, that was Laimbeer and Mahorn's job on the... They would go at whoever the best player was on the team. Just beat him up. Make him afraid to come to the basket. Get in his head.
And we've talked about like having the idea of having an enforcer on the team, too. You know, I don't know who that guy... Was that McAdoo?
Draymond's the enforcer, which is odd, but Draymond's the enforcer for that team.
Is he, though? Because
I would think Bogut would be the guy to fear. But Draymond's the one who talks all the mess. But gets physical with guys. But back to the Draymond thing just real quick. The other thing I liked about the one that he did is that he went at LeBron. He didn't go at someone like Steve Adams. He didn't go at a role player who can push him around that he doesn't like personally.
Yeah.
He actually went at the star of the other team, which a smart enforcer does.
Yeah.
That's what they do. They go at the star of the other team.
Which also, by the way, like he really got in LeBron's headspace, I think, too, which doesn't happen very often.
I think so, too.
The other thing is, like, which was very smart of Draymond. I really like Draymond as a player and as a guy. I think he's dirty as shit. Like, I've come around on your opinion. I think he's dirty as shit.
Yeah, I flipped on that opinion.
Now. Yeah. What, you think it's the other way around?
No, I think he's dirty as shit. But what I really didn't like about him is that he was going after the role players. I think if you're going to be dirty, like, I go take a lot of shit because I liked Laimbeer.
Yeah.
And, like, all the guys from back in the day will be like, oh, how could you like that guy? And I was like, he always went after the stars. He didn't mess around with the little guys. He would go after the stars and be like, stop me from doing this. I'm going to push you around until you stop me. I'm going to bully you and get in your head. And I think, again, that's the job of the enforcer. It's not right, but just to be a dick.
Who's the enforcer on Cleveland?
No pun
though?
Intended with Draymond's foot. What's that?
Who's the enforcer on Cleveland's team, though?
Oh, Dellavedova.
Yeah, he's not big enough to be an enforcer. He's just a scrappy little...
But as an enforcer, I think it's to get in your head.
Yeah, but he's not big enough to, like he can't get on, like, he can't get on Draymond and
he's
fucking get
big
in his
enough
head.
To slap some dicks and trip people.
That's true. He can definitely smack a dick. There's so much dick smacking, man. What is going on?
Just go online and see how hated Dellavedova is.
Oh,
he's
I know.
Clearly the guy.
Yeah, well, it's fair. But I still don't think he's an enforcer. I think he's an annoyance. I think he's like, you know what Dellavedova is? He's Joe Borelli on the court. It's the same fucking play style.
Since I'm just going to get into like quasi-nationalistic like stereotypes, because I already said Canadians are soft, basically. So I'm just going to go across the board and hopefully we'll get a little hate mail. Australians like to drink and fight. Get it. Hot take.
Hot take.
It's not mine.
Whose is it?
You know who else is an Australian? Bogut.
Yeah, no.
He's boys with Dellavedova.
Yeah.
And they're both known to be a little punchy on the court.
Well, that's fair. anyway, I forgot. I had another point about this whole... Whoa, my thought about LeBron, like, and Draymond getting in his head. LeBron never does that, dude. He was like... He would have... I also was thinking at the same time. Like, I was thinking, oh, my God, he would... You know, like, if there's one person in this world I would not want to pick a fight with and get him to fight me, it would be LeBron. That dude's a giant man, and he's, like, he's bigger than Draymond is. It's insane.
Yeah, he
he's
is.
Just a
you
physical
can see
specimen.
When they stood together that he's an inch or two bigger than Draymond.
And I'm like, wait a minute. Draymond
also
plays
wider.
A center position, and you're...
But that's another thing I like about Draymond.
Yeah, no, I know, but I'm just saying, like, I'm like, holy shit, LeBron's bigger than Draymond is. And he picked a fight with, like... The other thing is, like, so I'm thinking about this. I'm like, wow, if there's one person I wouldn't want to get into a fight with, it's probably LeBron because he's just a physical freak. Like, that guy would destroy you. And then I thought about it. I was like, actually, I think he's like a Hollywood tough guy. You know what I mean? Like,
they call them studio gangsters.
Studio gang. That's the word I was looking for. Yeah. I think he's more of a studio gangster. I don't think he would ever
throw
a punch.
I don't think he's a gangster at all. I don't think he's ever had to. No, I think he's always had an entourage.
Yeah.
I don't think Draymond has. I think Draymond, not unlike Dellavedova, came up a little scrappier than some of the guys on the court.
Yeah.
I think some of the guys came up, you know, as precious little pearls their entire lives.
Yeah. One person I would never pick a fight with was, who's her boy from the the child of war. Oh, help me out. Center.
Bogut?
Yeah. No, was it Bogut? He's from Australia.
He's Serbian.
Oh, so he grew up in Serbia.
And no, they had to leave because of the war and go to Australia.
So it was Bogut.
Yeah. Well, Bogut, I think he essentially is a child of war. I don't know.
Jesus.
We were talking about Stojakovic before, who literally is a child of war.
Yeah,
because it was his birthday the other day, and I just like pitched Stojakovic.
I know you do. Isn't his son in the draft this year?
Is he?
Is that it? I'm
very excited. No, you're talking about
Sabonis. Sabonis,
sorry. Donatas Sabonis.
Yeah.
Oh, I still want the Blazers to get it. He's not his dad, but Jesus Christ. I just want it because I'd love to have another Sabonis on the Blazers.
Well, speaking of, do you want to talk a little bit about the draft? I feel like, so I was really excited to do, and I've been like doing a lot of my homework on, I've been doing YouTubing. Not YouTubing. Well, I guess it is on YouTube, but like I've been doing the Draft Express thing. Like I'm watching all the top prospects on, those online.
20-minute videos they just show you the same clip over and over again.
It's the strengths and the weaknesses. No, if you go on Draft Express, man, they break it all down. They do the player interviews. They do their strengths. They
What's
do
the guy's name? Jonathan Givony?
Sure.
Anyway, he's the guy who does all that.
Yeah.
I can't watch those videos. They're too long and they seem redundant. And they also... I watched them years and years ago when they were new, and I felt like I didn't glean anything from them. The only stuff I gleaned was either from watching the college games.
Yeah.
So I knew nothing about foreigners.
Right.
Or summer league after the fact, but...
Well, for me, like, I very rarely watch college basketball. So I'll watch the Final Four, or not the Final Four, but I'll watch March Madness as much as I can, but it's usually, like, I'm usually not able to tune in. Excuse me. Oh, my God. I got the burps.
But no, keep going. Keep
burp it out. I'm trying
People
to
love
it,
hearing
work,
that.
Work it out.
So I don't really get to follow the college game. When I do, I get a way better impression of the guys, right? Obviously, because like if you I thought you were making some weird face at me.
No, that's my normal face.
All right, just checking.
It's always weird.
That's I can vouch for that.
It's true.
It's beautiful. It's beautifully weird. So I was going to say, so I've been watching these, and I wanted to like make my list of like my top five players or go down the list a little bit with the draft. I just haven't had time to put that together.
Do you
want to
do a mock draft? Do you want to do the first round sometime?
Yeah, I
do. Not on the air. We'll do it off the air. And we'll run down it and give our reasons.
Yeah, that's what I was hoping we would do. Maybe we should do that after the podcast, and the next week we'll have it ready.
No, we got to wait for these finals to end. The finals don't end until October.
Oh, that's shit.
They don't end until 3 months after the draft. And we have to finish out the finals, which...
Man, there's such a busy schedule. It's like it's like a nonstop...
Yeah, pretty much.
24-hour.
I'm going on vacation in August. I'm just calling it right now.
So am I.
Great.
Oh, all right. So guys, in August, fuck off. No. Maybe we'll get that Skype thing working. I'll call you from like wherever the hell I am.
I don't know what Skype is.
Oh, all right. You don't know what Skype is? You know what Stitcher
is? I swear
is?
To God, I learned what Twitter was 2 years ago.
Are you serious?
Yes. I knew of Twitter, but I didn't know what it was until 2 years ago.
It's kind of hard to figure out at first.
I tried to go full Luddite for a while in my life. It didn't work out.
Uh-huh.
So I decided to swing back the other way and had to catch up on every technology that everyone was using.
Like, damn it.
There was a time in my life where I wondered how everyone knew about a party that I wasn't invited to.
It's like,
and they're like, you were invited. And I'm like, I'm not on. What are you talking about? I feel left out.
Nobody called me.
Yeah.
It's like
I didn't get an invitation in the mail.
Let's get a drink quick and we'll come right back.
All right.
Anyway, Mike, so after we had our drink, I did want to go back to before I talk about my talking points in the NBA draft and the guys that I've watched, blah, 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 blah. We'll get back into that. But I first want to talk a little bit more because we had this thought while we were chatting with a beer in our hand. This NBA finals has been historically bad, right?
Just the playoffs in general have been historically bad.
The playoffs in general.
It's outside of the Oklahoma City series, which I felt alienated with after the bad calls, which I thought on Draymond, which we discussed, where I thought they were officiating for ratings. With the exception of that series, I just was so bored with most of these series.
Yeah, it's
even the Blazers series, the Blazers beating the Clippers because people got hurt and then get blown away by the Warriors. I just thought this whole playoffs has been extremely boring.
Well, here's the thing about the Blazers, not to go back too far, but I enjoyed that they beat the Clips.
I always love seeing Doc Rivers lose.
Yeah. Yeah, but again, it was like I said about like the Sixers in 2012. Like, you don't want a Hall of Victory, and that kind of sucks. Because it was a hollow victory. They wouldn't have beat him if they had a
full team. I agree, and I had said as much.
Right.
I had, back to the playoffs being bad, though, that I had just read an article about how the average margin of victory has been close to 15 points a game, which is the biggest margin of victory in NBA playoffs history, and that more than a quarter of the games have been blowouts.
It's crazy. What do you think the reason is?
I don't know, except for I would just think that...
Because it's in both conferences, right? So it's like in Western Conference and the East, right?
Sure.
Which, you know, I mean, it makes perfect sense when you're talking about, like, the Warriors versus the Cavs, East versus West. Like, we all know that...
So the Cavs won the last game before 30. This by 30. Yeah, I know. They blew them out by 30.
It's really inconsistent, no? But, like, what is... I don't understand the disparity between, like, how... I understand, like, coming out and shocking the other team and doing something that they weren't expecting. Like, you've hid this from them. Like, we talk about Pop doing with the Spurs. Like, you hide your team or you hide your strategy the entire year. You come out in the first round and you just shock the other team. And they're like, they don't know what to do. And I understand, like, the correction. You go back and you look at tape and you practice, like, okay, they're going to screen on this and they're going to, you know, blah, 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 blah.
Do you think... Just I can do like basic levels, but do you think the teams, whether it's the players or not, are just when they, you know, there's a 20-point lead in the fourth quarter, they're just giving up?
Yeah, it's possible.
Or when they get behind later in the game, they're just like, oh, we'll wait for the next game.
Maybe. I mean, and you know what? That might actually be, it's a really weird thing. That could be sort of somewhat of a blowback from the idea of like, let's rest our players for these games in the regular season because this game doesn't matter.
Yeah, right.
It could be like,
that's a good point.
It could be like associated with that in some weird way. Like, like a lot of people do. Like what we talked about before, like Pop started doing this thing. Like he has his star players and they're getting older and you need to rest them. You need to get them for the games that do matter. So in that respect, yeah, if you're already down by 20 or you're down by 15 in the fourth quarter and you like think that there's no way we're going to come back.
Yeah.
Just rest.
Yeah.
That's a good point. I hadn't thought about it.
There's also, and I'm going to go full conspiracy theory, that years and years of the NBA controlling the games and the outcomes of games mm-hmm. and the playoffs to the nth degree, the players know when they're not going to get it this game. They're just throwing it in the towel because it's clear. And they're like, oh, this isn't our game. It's clear that it's not our game.
Because so, the refs are going against
us. The refs are not calling it our way. We're not making baskets. Like so that they already are, they're smart enough to know that it's been predetermined. Again, I don't like going full conspiracy because I don't think it's right. That deep or that dark at all. I just want to throw that out as a talking point.
No, it's a good point. And I think you hit on something there, too. Like, when the team's, like, not hitting any shots, there's nothing you're going to do to correct that. If your team goes cold and you're smart enough to recognize it, yeah, I could totally see putting it in the tank and be like, you know what? There's another game. This isn't the end. I think it's when somebody mentioned on a podcast I was listening to, and I think it was Bill Simmons again, that... Sorry, I hate to keep referencing.
Yeah.
Yeah. I listen to so many podcasts, I can't help it. Somebody mentioned that they think LeBron just kind of puts it in the tank when he sees, and this goes right, I was like, wow, somebody actually gave your almost exact same opinion, that like, when he's down,
he just gives up.
He just gives up.
That's what I feel like. I've felt that for years.
Now, you might be right.
The Celtics series, there was that famous Celtics series, but even before that, I was like, oh, this dude just either gets it or he doesn't. He doesn't really want to fight. He's so talented.
Well, yeah, that might be it.
If he has to fight for it, he's like, oh, no, I don't give a shit anymore.
That could be. It really could be. And like the only two championships he won were with Miami, when he had Dwayne Wade, his equal,
right.
Who would not fight.
Yeah, Dwayne's a fighter. That's why I like Dwayne Wade still.
He's still one of my favorite players.
Me too.
Yeah. Even though he's getting old. But man, you know what? I'll say this about this playoffs. I loved seeing the Dwayne Wade resurgence. Like he came back. I don't know. We talked about it like every week.
We talked about it, yeah.
Yeah. That was one good thing. But other than that, this series, this whole playoffs has been really boring.
I really wanted the Raptors-Cleveland series to be good, and I thought for a split second it was going to be good.
Well, and when they Biombo evened it wanted up,
that
right?
contract money.
Yeah. I'm still not sold that it's just the contract that he's playing for. I think he might actually be good. And like, what?
Nothing. Just someone's going to overpay Biombo.
Oh, yeah, for sure. It. He's definitely getting overpaid. Yeah. I don't know. It's been a really weird playoffs, and it's been way too fucking long. I'm going to keep harping on this. Like, it's been way too long.
Playoff fatigue.
Playoff
fatigue. It happens to me every year.
I am tired.
Which is weird, because I just got hot on the betting. Like, I just started betting people. I've waited the entire playoffs to finally start.
I thought you meant bet. I think, wait, you've actually gone to like real betting now?
Okay. I don't bet money anymore.
Yeah, I don't either.
I used to bet money a lot, but I'm 2 for 2 on these bets.
Nice. Wait, don't you owe me a beer from a bet we had?
Earlier, I did. Yeah. I'll give you one.
One of these days I'll collect on that.
I'm usually pretty good.
Yeah, you are.
So outside of the playoffs being fucking terrible.
Yeah. Outside of that,
did you want to talk about the draft?
I do want to talk about the draft. I'm getting a phone call right now. Sorry if that's bleeding through the...
So good. Yeah, so good for a podcast. Yeah, I'm calling you. I really wanted to throw the podcast off, so I just called you.
You just want some feedback, right? Yeah. So it's going to loop, and then we'll get the echo chamber going. Mm-hmm. Anyway. Yeah, let's... getting back to the NBA draft a little bit. As I was saying, that I've been... So I'm trying to do my homework, because I really do want to do an NBA draft lineup. Like, I at least want to go through, like, maybe the first 10, top, like, 15 players that we think are really good, some people that have a chance. I've gotten a few opinions about the guys I'm watching, and more than anything, I think that... So here's my strategy. When I'm scouting a player on YouTube...
Mm-hmm. As professionals do.
Mm-hmm. So I watch their highlights first, and if, like, there's a couple guys that jumped out to me, while I'm watching their strengths, I'm like, oh my God, that's a huge weakness. If I see that in your strength video, you're not going to be good.
So are you thinking of something specific where you saw a strength? Like someone's strength was like making cupcakes?
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, he's going to get fat. He's not going to be good in the NBA. That's not even an applicable strength.
He's Raymond Felton.
Yeah.
No, but...
makes amazing cupcakes. Predicted to go in the first round. That dude's going to be
fat. No, but there were a few players. I'm like, wow, that's really good. Oh, man, he'd be good on the... No, no, wait. Why is he doing that? Oh, yeah, he made the shot, but like... If he didn't make that shot, that would definitely be on the other reel. The weakness is real. And Chris Dunn is one of those guys.
Are you, what, you think Chris Dunn's being overhyped?
Yeah, he reminds
me. I actually am getting warmed up on Chris Dunn, and I like him a lot.
I'm also warming up on him, but the first time I watched his reel, I was like, and his highlights. I'm like, why is he not sharing the ball? Why is he taking every, you know who he reminds me of?
Who?
Tony Roten. A little bit. I love Tony Roten, but Tony
Roten. Northwest finest.
Yeah, he is. He does the program like amazingly, whatever. Seattle program, right? Is that what it was? Yeah. He scored like 50 some points. Why do I know this shit?
Because he was a Sixer.
Yeah, that's exactly why I know this shit.
I don't want to get into it too much, but I like Chris Dunn. I think he's going to be good. I am worried that Boston's going to take him at 3 and have 18 point guards on that team.
I don't think there's any chance they do that.
You don't think they take him at 3?
They can't. How could they do that and not alienate the rest of the guards? They have a guard full. Like,
I think Danny Ainge takes the best player available. I think he consistently has taken the best player available.
That's true.
And it's been good for him in the drafts. I think Chris Dunn might be the best player available at the 3 spot. I'm not sure yet. I'm not locking these in.
I'm just going to say this. Why do you say that about Danny Ainge, and when Sam Hinkie did the exact same fucking thing he gets shit for? He took the best player available at every goddamn spot. But no, really? No, it's not. Yeah.
First of all, why does it go back to Hinkie immediately?
Because you're like, you're just advocating for taking the BPA at that spot.
BPA?
Best player available.
How deep are you in this?
I'm pretty fucking
deep,
man.
You have abbreviations for best player available?
BPA.
I like how just bringing up Ainge is an affront to you as a Sixers fan. Listen, all I did was say that his record was that he takes the best player available, and you're like, why are you talking shit about the Sixers?
No.
It wasn't talking shit about the Sixers at all.
It's not that. I like Danny Ainge. I think Danny Ainge is a really good GM. I think he's one of the top 5 GMs in the league.
I just said, I'm worried he'll take Chris Dunn at 3.
I'm not
has talking, nothing to do with the Sixers.
You know I'm not talking
has
about
zero
Danny Ainge.
To do with the Sixers.
You know I'm not talking about Chris Dunn. I'm talking about, why is it okay for Danny Ainge to do this strategy, and it's not okay for Sam Hinkie and gets fired?
Think.
Who did Sam
Hinkie
take?
I would like to talk about the Sixers so much more.
Oh, God damn it.
But I would like to think the reason it's okay to talk about Danny Ainge doing it and not Sam Hinkie is because Danny Ainge still has a job.
Shut the hell up. You hate me. Why do you stab me with your words?
You put so much of this in your heart.
Stabs. I still love you.
Anyway, back to Chris Dunn at the number 3 pick. And I think that Danny Ainge and nothing about the Sixers.
Right. So I don't think Danny Ainge goes with Chris Dunn at the 3.
I'm not saying that he does. It's still early. I'm still evaluating. I want to do a draft podcast where we really go through this.
Yeah. We
might have to do it midweek. I'm still taking in a lot of this information.
We might have to do it midweek because the draft is next week. It's 2 Thursdays. It's on the 23rd. So
the 23rd of June?
Yeah.
Are the playoffs going to be over? I'm not even joking.
I don't know. To go on forever. It might be still going.
I would rather do a full draft podcast. We haven't even done free agents yet.
Well, that's because free agency doesn't happen until July 1st. Okay. So I figured we had time to get to that.
Perfect.
I want to do
a full draft.
All right.
I'd like to actually go through the entire first round.
That would be fine.
I don't know how deep I can get. When we get to Diamond Stone, I'm probably out. my favorite name in the draft, Diamond Stone.
Mine's still Dragon Bender.
You like Dragon Bender? Yeah. I'm a Diamond Stone.
The last Dragon Bender.
I'll play my Diamond Stone card against your Dragon Bender, and we'll see how this works out.
Cool. Roll the 20-sided die.
Yeah. But did you have any other thoughts on the draft that you want to get into? I know you're super excited because this is your Sixers wheelhouse all of a sudden.
I know. I'm trying to
have 18 picks in the first round. How many picks
do
they
19.
Have?
So, they have three. No, I mean, it's really interesting this year. It can go a lot of ways. I'm trying not to be super Sixers homer on this. I know, but there are, so my strategy so far has been like, there have been a couple of guys that I thought were better than where they're projected. And obviously there's a couple of guys that are worse. The one thing though, I think is that like, it's really hard to tell. Like, I think it's going to be a draft full of like, I know people are saying it's a weak draft outside of the top two. And I think that's probably true. I think there's maybe one or two gems that are in there that might be all-stars, but for the most part, I think it's just a bunch of guys that are going to be role players, like good role players. Which is like most drafts, I guess. So it's not that
insight.
Yeah, shut up. It's not that this summer. It's not really any insight. I mean, I don't want to talk about anybody specifically. We're going to actually do this.
Yeah, we are.
Okay.
I'm into it.
All right. So
I'm more into that right now than the finals.
Yeah, me too. I'm like, still, I have limited time to do it because I like watch before I go to work and watch when I come home from work sometimes.
I just want to see a fight in the NBA finals. That
would be awesome. Yeah.
Yeah. Get me back into it.
Yeah. Yeah, well, we almost had one. We were close. Draymond,
LeBron won't do anything.
That's true.
He'll never do anything.
Well, it's also a matter of, I think he's smarter than that too. Like, I don't think he would risk his career or his like brand in any way by getting into a fight. You know,
by having heart. By winning, by winning finals and having heart. Yeah, I don't think he would ever have heart either.
You are not a LeBron fan.
Well, this moment, I'll change my mind later, I'm sure.
Yeah, you'll come around. I don't know. You have any thoughts on the draft? What do you want to say?
I don't. I've heard a rumor recently, and this I would like your input on, and you don't have to make it about the Sixers because it is about the Sixers.
Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, you don't have to twist it so it's about the Sixers. Rumor, and also speaking of Danny Ainge, Okafor for the third pick. Have you heard this?
Yeah. Oh my God, have I heard this?
how badly do you want that third pick?
Let me think about this. So I don't think there's a clear cut. So a lot of the things I've been hearing is like Dragon Bender is the third overall pick. Like he's the best. I'm not that impressed with Dragon Bender. I would actually put him around. I don't know. There's a few guys I would take over Dragon Bender. Yeah. I just don't think he's that great. I think he's fine.
I don't know. Like I said, I watch the college game. I don't watch the international game. From what I've seen and read of Dragon Bender, the name that came to mind to me most often was Nikola Shishkovili. You know Shishkovili?
No, right.
There's a reason you don't know. There's a reason you don't know his name.
Just like what we were talking about, who got a big contract from the Knicks, and you're like, oh, and you don't know his name. Same shit.
Yeah, well, sort of. Shishkovili he grew up, I think he's Russian or some Russian tangentially related place. He grew up doing ballet, and that was the big thing when he came up in the draft. They're like, oh, he did ballet. His footwork's going to be amazing.
He's going to be Lin Swan.
His footwork was amazing. His basketball game was not amazing.
But you should see him dance.
Yeah, 7-footer who can dance. I'll draft high based on that.
Yeah. I mean, why not take a chance? Look at what was the guy that I hate it when I do this.
No, the one guy who did the stuff one time.
Yeah, that guy. Right?
No. Oh, I know totally who you're talking about.
The Raptors took Bruno Caboclo a couple years ago, and when he was drafted, and when they drafted him, we were like, remember the famous comment was like, yeah, he's 2 years away from being 2 years away. And he still hasn't seen any minutes. Like, he may end up being good in, like, another 3 or 4 years.
Another Philly point. Your boy Saric is getting on that plane, isn't he?
I don't know, man.
I thought he's coming.
Here's the thing. If Saric comes over this year, he's still on the rookie pay scale. If he waits one more year, that goes out the window, and he'll get a ton more money. I know that he's improved his shot, which was a bit of a... like a point. He's kind of become a little bit of a sharpshooter. I think Saric is going to be good. I don't know if he's ever going to be
Colangelo like threatened him, like come over now or don't come over at all.
Colangelo and Brett Brown just went over to see him this week. and to talk to him about like whether, because they're in their NBA, or not NBA, I'm sorry, they're in the EuroLeague playoffs right now, and I'm not sure where they're at. I think they lost their first game. I'm not sure when it ends for them, but he has to come over by July 17th. Or the something about the Sixers will have a cap hold on him if he declares that he's not coming before that. They don't have to have the, you know, use the $1 million on him. This is getting really deep into it.
Yeah, it's getting really esoteric. I'm past the point of caring. I fell asleep for a minute. Yeah.
Anyway, don't know if he's coming over yet. They haven't. He hasn't given.
Okay, so you don't know is the point.
Don't know.
By the way, for years I've said this too. I wish I could watch EuroLeague.
You can.
How?
I can't tell you on the air.
Okay. You can say all these random horrible things, but you can't tell me.
I've watched EuroLeague. It's not nearly as exciting as the NBA.
Why? Because you don't know who anybody is?
That.
I'm actually totally into that, by the way.
By the way, there's way more NBA players in the EuroLeague than you think. You will know some names when you watch it. You're like, oh my God, that guy's there? I didn't know he was
Russian
still playing.
Russian and Chinese league, too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure. The other thing about it, the thing that's not so exciting about it is like the stadiums are empty. Like a lot of the time you're like, wow, what's I thought people actually watched basketball in Europe. I guess not. It looks like they're playing in a gym. It looks like summer league. Actually summer league gets more packed. Oh, we should get into summer league then too. Also going to be on our radar.
Yeah, I'll pay the league more money to watch summer league.
yeah I will too. I buy it
on a total side note. I just want to throw this out there because Kobe retired and I was bored. I was watching lots of NBA videos on YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
And there's one where Kobe goes to Rucker Park to play, which is here in New York. It's on Manhattan. It's the famous park where players go to street ball.
Okay.
And a lot of NBA players go there to show off their skills.
Is that the one on 6th Ave?
No, it's way up in Washington Heights.
Oh, okay.
I went to the Cloisters once with my ex-lady, and we walked past it by accident, and I got really excited. I was like, this is Rucker Park? This is Rucker Park. And she's like, what's Rucker Park? And didn't give a fuck about what I was talking about.
Dude, every time I go into the city to get my my teeth arranged, I pass this park, this basketball park on 6th Ave, and there's always a bunch of guys.
The West 4th Park is also very famous.
Yeah, and like guys are always down there playing, and like it's
dope. Rucker's the big one. We should go up there this summer.
We should go up there this summer. Fuck yeah.
But anyway, I watched this mini documentary about Kobe.
Okay.
Going to play street ball in New York. Mm-hmm. The last player on earth who should go and play street ball in New York is Kobe Bryant, because he grew up wealthy in Italy and speaks Italian and just showed up to get a contract in the NBA.
Right.
The way he's dressed is great. But they were doing the whole like, you know, street legitimacy thing, brand. This is my brand. I'm Kobe Bryant thing. And they were interviewing all these New York street ballers,
mm-hmm.
you know, and they were going through and it's all these guys. And then all of a sudden there's one guy with jacked teeth. And I was like, he looks familiar. It was Jerome Williams. Jerome Williams, the junkyard dog who had played Chicago for years, one of my favorite players, was just a guy at Rucker Park commenting. And I was like, he is also a professional.
Yeah.
Why is he just commenting on his love of Kobe? I was like, why aren't you still in the league? Like, why are you just at Rucker Park?
Well, how old was he at that point?
He wasn't, you know, who knows? I don't think he was that old. I think he was a contemporary Kobe.
Okay.
I just loved him because he was totally just a random athletic player who couldn't do anything well, but did everything a little bit.
Yeah.
Defensive guy. You would have loved him when he played. He played for Chicago. I just think it was thrown in that he was quote unquote junkyard dog.
Yeah.
Jerome Williams. But it didn't say that he had been an NBA player for years.
You mentioned none of that.
Random people commenting on Kobe, and it's just like the Shaq, Shaquille O'Neal, and doesn't like comment that he had been in the NBA.
No NBA career that we can mention.
And Kobe's amazing. Yeah.
So that's pretty
That's funny. A total aside. I just remembered it when we were talking.
I bet that stuff happens around Philadelphia too, though. Like you can go to like some parks and see guys that are like from the area, like
That had shots or played or
Still, you know, when they go home from for the season over the summer, you could probably catch them in the park playing. That would be like we have all this accessible to us in New York City.
Yeah, well, let's go to Rucker, dude.
We should do it. Let's do it.
Let's go. Let's go get robbed in Washington Heights.
Oh, come! What is that?
No, you know what it is.
No, I State don't. It. No, stop.
State it.
Shut it.
Nothing. I'm joking.
Come on.
So Joe looks like the captain for the Yale crew team.
Dude, we just tried to. I had a really bad moment right before we got. It's been a rough day. Some dude just yelled at me about minding my own business when I was telling a woman that she was driving up the street the wrong way.
And he told you to mind your own business?
He's like, yo, mind your own fucking business. I'm like, are you serious? I'm like, I'm like, you know what? Let's just go home. Let's just go home.
Like, somewhere it gets weird around here.
It gets really
weird. I was walking down the street and I had my headphones on. And I heard, yo. And I turned around and there was just a guy, homeless guy, sitting under a tree yelling yo at me, waving for me to come over like it was really important. I just looked at him and was like, I don't need to talk to you. There's zero that there's you're going to tell me at this point that's going to be important to my life for how much stress you're putting on the, hey, yo, come yeah. here. Like, no good's going to come of this. I'll just see you later. How about that?
Did you go over?
No. I looked at him and I was just like, yep, I see you. Like, enjoy your shade.
Yeah. Sometimes I'm compelled to go over those guys. Like, maybe
why?
Maybe he really wants
what
something.
Good do you think it's going to come? Do you think he's going to tell you a secret, like where the treasure is? Or?
Oh, my God. You found the submarine, didn't you?
Yeah.
I don't know.
No, no good. It's just your schizophrenic no good, who wants yeah. to yell at people.
Yeah. We don't know that he's schizophrenic. He could just be bipolar.
It's true. I should go digging and actually look for that treasure. He gave me a map. I'm sure he's not crazy.
He did hand me a map. I got to tell you.
There is treasure in the corner of Rutger Park.
There was an X, and it marked the spot.
Yeah.
Anyway, so
speaking of random, yeah. random
you
stories.
Want to do a random wrap up? I have yeah. a really good one for the random.
I can
wrap
tell.
Up.
By the way, I just want to say I'm sorry that both of our hearts are not totally wrapped up in the finals at this point.
Yeah, it's summer, dude. There's so much better things.
It's
to be
been
going
on forever too.
Oh, I would. You know what? Since we're doing the random wrap up,
yeah,
right now, starting now, mm-hmm. random wrap up. I just want to give a shout out to my little sister who turns some age I'm not going to mention tomorrow. So happy birthday, Rachel.
Happy birthday, Rachel. I've never met you, but happy birthday.
She's cool. You'd like her. She has ducks now, along with her chickens.
What does that mean?
Look, well, she has ducks. She just got ducks. She's getting...
Oh, she's out in the country?
Yeah. And she has ducks and chickens.
Well, people say you have all your ducks in a row.
She doesn't have...
I thought you were going to continue on that line. Like, she has all her ducks.
No, she has ducks. She just put it on Facebook. It's like, oh, ducks. I was like, you know, they're only good for eating, right? And she's like, well, I'm going to make you duck eggs when you come home. So there you go. She also has a giant garden and she planted me pumpkins. So
okay. Happy birthday, Rachel.
There we go. So beside that, botanical garden. But the real thing I want to talk about.
Yeah, for random wrap up.
Random, since we're totally
you want to talk
random.
About some dad shoes?
I want to talk about some dad shoes. All right. Let's talk about the Chef Twos. What do you think about them?
Wait, they're called the Chef?
Yeah, twos? Chef Twos.
Is that his nickname, the Chef?
Yeah, you know, because when he hits a three, he stirs the pot.
I thought that James Harden did that.
Oh, that does. Yeah, James Harden.
That's
does.
Why I was confused when they called the Chef, and I was like, I
yeah,
thought that
that's
was
James Harden.
Harden's
you're right.
Thing.
I'm an idiot.
No, I don't think you're wrong.
No, they do call him a chef, but I just because. I guess I just
am confused about why they call him the chef. Oh, because his last name's Curry, and like just oh, one plus one equals two.
Most
nicknames are pretty fucking terrible to these days.
That's like more
like your
more
last name's a food. We'll call you the chef.
Well, I think it's just that chef and Steph are so similar, and Chef Curry. Yeah, you might. I don't know. Fucking, it's more like one and one third.
George
plus one
the Iceman Gervin.
Hmm. What is that?
That's a nickname.
Yeah, that's true.
Larry Legend. That's a nickname.
George the Animal Steel. That's a nickname.
Magic Irvin Johnson is a nickname.
That's a good one too, yeah.
Yeah, it's so good mm-hmm. that it replaced his first name and everyone just called him Magic.
Magic. That is
my sister girl. Watches Rich Kids at Beverly Hills. I don't even know if that's still on TV, but the kid on there is Irvin Johnson. And I was like, you know whose kid that is, right? And she was like, nah, who? I was like, that's Magic Johnson's kid. And she's like, well, how do you know that? I was like, he has the same name. Magic's name is Irvin Johnson.
On what?
Rich Kids of Beverly Hills.
Oh, I've never seen it.
He show. Is
the rich kid.
Extremely tall. He is very rich. He's obese.
Oh.
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 And
Magic Johnson's kid is fat.
Philemon.
Oh, that's cool. That
led me to it's cool as though I'm anti.
No, like, and I wasn't saying that you're anti.
No, I'm just going to come out and be like, I want to make a statement.
No. I didn't mean that. I just meant like that part's cool. They're obese, I feel bad about it. Like,
why?
I just feel bad.
Why?
Why do you have to get fat?
Well, you see it as a negative when I just see it as more to love.
All right, fair enough.
Now who's homophobic?
Wow. Not me.
Sexuality is a scale, my friend.
It's true.
Hmm.
It's true. It's a sliding scale. I'll slide over there in a minute.
That's a pretty good line. We were way off topic on these chef shoes. So you're supposed to wear these shoes while cooking.
Listen, the chef shoes make me feel a certain way.
Yeah, you're supposed
they
to
have that impact. Yeah, so.
The internet went crazy, and then people wrote news articles about the internet putting them down, which blew my mind. I was like, the news is about the internet's opinion.
This is like... This is like post-meta. I don't even know what's going on.
There were news stories about the internet not liking his shoes. And I thought his shoes were totally fine. Totally fine.
I know.
If they weren't, they're probably like $200.
Yeah, that
would just I haven't looked it up, but if they were cheap, like if they were $100, I'd buy a pair.
Let me sum it right up for you. And I was talking to my wife had no idea about this, the Curry 2s. She was like, what are you talking about? I was like, because I'm laughing my ass off. I'm like, wait, let me send you a link. And I sent her the link of the news cycle summing up all of the memes, because the memes are great. Especially the I fall on and I can't get up lady. That was particularly good.
Okay.
She's cracking it, like laughing out loud. And we talked about it this morning. I was like, you know what? I want to talk about the Chef 2s on the podcast. And she's like, so we're on our way to the Brooklyn Botanical Garden. And she was saying, you know, I'm like, she's like, you're going to do the dad thing, right? And I'm like, yeah, blah, blah, blah. I was like, she's like, you know, my dad actually would wear those shoes. Like, you should buy him a pair. She's like, yeah, I think he's too cool for those.
That's fine.
That's all. You know, I don't think he would appreciate him. She said other
things. I've seen uglier shoes in the past. By other players. I think it's because one of Steph Curry's. I don't want to throw out my boy Dame, but he's had some ugly
really
ones.
Really? Worse than
I
those?
I think he had a pair with Argyle that looked particularly bad. And I think Kobe had those moon boots years ago. And this is telling my age because I think it was like a second or third shoe out with Nike. But they basically look like ridiculous moon boots. Like they were huge on your feet and you'd walk around on the moon and they'd keep you attached in low gravity. There's been a lot of ugly shoes. I don't think these are the worst.
Well, it's not. The thing is, like, it's not even necessarily that they're ugly. They're just so bland. Like, this is what the two-time MVP of the league gets for a shoe. Like, I don't think the funny thing is I don't think it hurts his brand at all. I don't think these are going to sell particularly well, but again, I was talking to my wife and she made a very, very valid point. It was that they probably will sell very well just because people want to have the shoe that everyone remembers. It's like in the news cycle like crazy.
She's probably right. I also think he signed with Under Armour when people thought he wasn't going to do shit.
Yeah.
He turned Under Armour into a viable third brand behind Adidas and Nike. The problem with that is that Adidas and Nike already have all the best designers. And
new designers are not born all the time.
No, that's true, but Under Armour, I don't think, is like at the forefront of hip shoe design.
Yeah, it's probably true. Yeah, but his other shoes
look
really good.
They're busy making a shitty named sports drink called Under Armour that you drink.
Wait, they make a sports drink?
Yeah, called Under Armour. They didn't even change the name, not like Under Armour Presents or just Under Armour.
Under Skin.
Anyway.
Or drink this armor.
You know, some of these players, too, they get design input. I would be really curious if whether or not Curry got design input on this shoe.
You think he did?
No, I'm saying I don't know. I know Lillard takes a big... Like, one of the reasons like his shoe was like goofy looking. I thought it was goofy looking. But he helps design his own shoes for Adidas. Adidas and Nike are both based in Portland. So if you're based in Portland, it's one of the few advantages the Trailblazers have.
It's like you can go...
You can just go right to their design places.
By the way, the Nike place, I know this from like other jobs that we won't talk about what we do, but it's a complex.
Yeah, I used to go there.
Yeah, it's
like
crazy.
Once a month for work.
You can't take a big truck under. You have to go like around to the back and like...
You could take a pretty big truck in there. I don't want to get too much into detail, but we used to do work for their VP. Mm. And we would go there, and their VP has a collection of stuff.
Mm.
And he has a giant facility for himself, just for himself, not too far from there. Anyway.
I will say that we are not actually in the sports world, but we've been very adjacent or in many apartments that sports owners have. So if that's any indication, we're capitalers. Kidding. I kid. What is that?
Something racist.
I'm going to cut that out.
All right. Do you have anything else to say about this shoe except that it looks like a dad's shoe and you hate it more than anything?
I just wonder...
Would you go far enough to say this is the Hitler of shoes?
I shouldn't even be laughing
hot
at
take.
That.
No, throw a hot take out there. No, take a stance.
It's not the Hitler of shoes. It's more like the Forrest Gump of shoes.
I just feel like the internet always is just like when they don't like something, this is the Hitler of something. So.
Yeah, that's not... I don't like the Hitler comparison at all. I don't. I'm very...
This is a really rambling podcast.
You know me. I'm very sensitive to these. I think people like our random wrap-up better than they like the actual basketball talk because we don't really know what the hell we're talking about. Well, we do. We can observe things.
The Hitler of shoes. I still kind of enjoy that.
Come on.
You should have thought that was funnier than you did.
The Hitler. I will when I listen to it again. Okay. Sometimes it takes a minute to sink in. Okay, anyway, all right, fine. Hitler shoes is pretty funny.
Thank you. Thank you for letting me have that one. I'm glad it means your approval.
This shoe is... I just don't like using Hitler as a... Whatever.
It's no, I'm using it tongue-in-cheek, self-aware that the internet calls everything Hitler when they don't like
it.
I know. And it's just funny to call a shoe Hitler. That's about it. Maybe it's not even that funny. We'll find out tomorrow when we sober up.
Yeah.
If somebody got strong beer, if you can't tell throughout this podcast.
And the one person left listening sends us a really bad hate mail.
Someone's left listening? That's very exciting.
Can't wait to get that hate mail. That one hate mail. Anyway.
I would love it if we got any mail.
Come on. Listen, I still like you. Isn't that all that matters?
I do want to throw out there, though, going forward this summer after these playoffs finally fucking wrap up. Jesus Christ. We're going to do a full draft preview. We've talked about it. We really want to get into that. Joe and I get very into the draft.
Yeah. We're going to do next week. Next week's going to be full draft preview. Your homework right now.
I'm already started. I've been doing it for a couple weeks.
We'll wrap up the finals, hopefully. Hopefully it's done tomorrow night because I can't fucking take anymore.
Me too. It's painful. And then I want to do a full free agency one too.
And we'll do that the week after. Right.
But I would like to put out to anybody who's listening to tweet at us any random wrap-up topics to go with. Yeah.
Yeah, because we have nothing to talk about. Unless that's not true.
I mean, I'll come hard. I'll bring topics. But I would like to just discuss, you know, any questions or topics you have for us.
It doesn't necessarily have to be about basketball either, because we have a lot of knowledge about random bullshit.
Oh, we're geniuses. When we're not doing this podcast, we're making inventions.
We invent all kinds of things.
Like ways to not be good at life.
Ways to not succeed. Yes. If you have any of the questions about how not to succeed in life, please hit us up. We are more than willing to.
We invent ways every day to not succeed.
Wait, it looked like I might do well at this. Ah.
But I want to say thanks to anyone who's listening.
Yes, me too. So anyway, you know, backing Mike up there. If you guys want to get in touch with us, you want to ask us any questions about basketball or other things, anything. Just don't ask me any social or political questions, because I will answer them and then I will alienate like the other two people that are listening. If you want to hit us up on Twitter at Superflight Pod. You can email us at thesuperflightpodcast@gmail.com. You can listen to us on SoundCloud, Stitcher, Mike, Stitcher. Still have no idea what it is, do you?
I still haven't looked. I don't know what it is.
Google Play and iTunes. If you listen to us on iTunes, it's very important. Please leave a review and rate us so that other people can find us. Otherwise, it just doesn't show up on anybody's feed. That's all. And thanks for listening, guys. I hope you had as much fun listening as we did during it.
Yep. Thanks.
Yeah.